the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go round two. Here we go. I woke up today with another big old keeping glass of gratitude, because I was like, you know, yesterday was a blur. That was kind of where you're floating around going, dude, did that just happen?
Are we still?
Wait. That was right. I wasn't dreaming. And so today, right away, boom, we got another basketball game. Yep. And I'm like, I'm still sort of in that mode where I'm like, I can't believe it. And I think actually, because one of the three or four times I tuned into Steiny and Goo today, I pop on right around noon, and I hear Guru going, I don't feel it from the Warrior fans today. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling confident. I don't feel the buzz. I don't feel the juice. Where is it? And I do think, you're going to get mad at me, I do think that there is a little drip, just a little drip of happy to be here. I know that that's like, champions don't do that.
I get it.
Yeah. But there is.
I'm not mad at that.
There's a little bit of you're happy to be here. I don't mean you're going to play like that. I don't mean, oh, it's okay if we lose in five. I don't mean that. But in this moment, and I hope the Warriors don't bring it to the court tonight, but there is. There's a little bit of we're happy to be here. Because I do think a lot of us spent 48 hours thinking that the season was about to end.
Well, and I think it's because of the short turnaround. That's why we have a little bit of that same feeling. Because I woke up in a little bit of the same way. I mean, woke up, I didn't really sleep last night. But
why not?
I got this this cough, and I got this lung thing.
You up?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Why don't you get some of those knockout drugs?
Tonight.
You can knock yourself out.
Tonight we're going to go ahead and go LL Cool J. I'm going to knock you out. Yeah, but
Mama said
you know, last night we tried to ride it out, and so... Whatever, I'm not going to complain, but I had many thoughts in the middle of the night of kind of what you're talking about, which is, man, they have another series. And,
dude,
you know, I'm appreciating
exactly.
It, but I don't think that when you get that much of a short turn, because Sunday happened and Sunday night, and you come in Monday and you do what we did, and then now you wake up Tuesday, it's like, oh my God, they have a game? If they had a game tomorrow, I do think that all of us would be a lot more ready to rev up and get after it and really talk about, like, Minnesota, let's break it the blank down. But at the same time, if they go out and they lose and they go down one game to none, well, yeah, everyone will be very activated come tomorrow.
Well, sure. Everyone, I mean, you lose a playoff game, you freak out. That's what is happening today in Oklahoma City and Boston. Although they'll all act like they're not, you know what I mean? Because those are the big bad, the one seed, the defending champs, all that. They're going to act like it's all good. It's not all good. When you lose a playoff game, you carry that sucker around with you for 48 hours or 72 hours or however long it is until your next game, and you feel like the world is falling, and then you win one game, and you feel unbeatable, and you cruise around with your chest out for 48 hours. Like, that's the rhythm. That's the process of this whole thing. But there's no doubt compared to what was happening going into the weekend that – for a fan, at least, this does feel less stressful. Tonight is less stressful than Friday and Sunday were. No question. No question.
Well, it's game one. Game one's always going to be less stressful, even though if you look at the numbers, and I know numbers are numbers.
They are. I looked it up.
Yeah, and if you look at the team that wins game one in an NBA series, they win about 75% of the time. But when the road team wins game one, it's about 50-50. And that's
that's interesting.
Yeah.
See, that's in because that's what we're looking at last night. And I don't know.
All three of them.
Nobody thinks now Cleveland and Oklahoma City are going to lose the series.
Right.
Nobody thinks that. It might happen, but
well,
nobody thinks that.
The history would tell you that those teams, I think they win about 49% of the time when they lose game one at home. And you know, the majority of those teams obviously go out there and they win game two at home, but that's kind of what the Warriors are looking at. If you can get one of these two, if you get game one, obviously now you're in the catbird seat as a veteran team. If you just win one of these two, which is what the Warriors have traditionally done in these series, you're going to be fine.
Well, absolutely.
And I think that takes away a little bit of the, not the urgency, but the stress of it. Like game seven, oh my God, there's nothing more stressful than a game seven, especially when you're up three games to one.
Yes, and I, no doubt, and I treated mentally, the hell if I have anything to do with these games, but emotionally, I treated game six like game seven. Because I thought that they weren't going to win the series if they lost game six.
And part of that, too, is, you know, you were there, and it was home, and you were with the lovely Christie.
Almost fainted. I was sitting next to Rocket fans. And I hate them. Yeah. I never even met them. I didn't ask their names. But for those 2.5 hours, I hated them.
Right. And
they seemed like nice ladies.
That was one of those games where you never felt like the Warriors had a hold on anything.
No, they got beat. They got roundly beat.
They got beat. They got beat, but they never even had that, like, oh, here they come.
Well, they cut it to two at the end of three quarters.
Yes, but it never felt to me watching it at home
like they were
going to
win.
Right. I mean,
they were the worst team that night.
But you watch game seven and they're up and it's like, oh my God, okay, Draymond, okay, buddy. And you're up and you're still up and buddy from half court, okay. That one felt like, okay, this actually might happen.
I think that's what you're tapping into is what I'm trying to sort of wrap my head around with these NBA playoffs. They're different. This is different than I think anything we've ever experienced before. And here's what I mean by that. I truly do believe that on any given night, any of these eight teams can be the better team on the floor that night. We've watched this. 20-point leads dissipate in the snap of a finger. It is bananas how quickly these teams take a 20-point deficit and turn it into 10. And you're like, okay, well, now you got a basketball game again. And so there's that. There's parity. There's just unbelievable three-point shooting. And then there's the old cliche of make or miss league. And everybody's going to have sort of like, I give both teams in all these series one game each to just start the series. Because I'm like, you're going to be super hot one night and you're going to be super cold one night. And that goes for all teams. And so you're going to win one because Buddy Hield scored 33 points without actually walking inside the three-point arc. And then you'll have another night where you shoot 28% from three and you lose the game. And that's just kind of, that's where we're at. And so that to me is it leads into the feeling out period of a game one, which is, I think what we're going to get tonight, something that's a little bit more like, oh, let's dip our toe in the water over here. Does this work? Does that work? And there's not a terrible amount of stress to whichever team loses, but all in all, Dibs, when I look at the playoffs right now from 10,000 feet, dude, it makes me feel better about the Warriors' chances of actually competing for a ring. Because I'll be honest with you, I definitely had them on my list of, well, they could win a ring.
Right.
I didn't think they would. I still wouldn't pick them to do it right now. But when you look at the way this is playing out, I sort of look at the Warriors, and we're not used to this. When they win rings, we're like, ooh, they're the best team. They're not the best team, but I don't know how much the other teams are the best team either. Every one of these teams has unbelievable strengths and gaping weaknesses. Even Oklahoma City. And you saw it last night. You know what I mean? Someone like Nikola Jokic, it's going to be a problem for them in that series.
It's going to be a problem for everyone.
He's a problem.
Yeah.
He is totally a problem, and Oklahoma City is not problem proof. And so maybe that just means the Warriors have a 1-8 shot, but I'll take it. That's great. That's great. Like, they're in the mix. That's kind of just, that's how I look at this team.
Yeah, they have more than a live shot. And if you look at this year, I do think you're right about the parity part of it, because if you want to go back in time and look at the best team and how often the best team wins the NBA championship, it's about 19 out of every 20. But this year feels like it might be a little bit more wide open. Like last year, Boston was the best team. They were the best team in the regular season. They were the best team in the playoffs, and they won the title. The one that's interesting is the Warriors in 2022. They probably weren't the best team, but they won the title. They played well. they got a break or two, and then they went up against an inexperienced Boston team and they beat them. So this year actually might be, not saying that the Warriors will win it, but this year feels a little bit more like 2022.
It'd be fun to do a temperature check with Warrior fans. Let's do it all afternoon. We'll lead you right up to tip-off. 888-957-9570. We'll take your phone calls right now. I hear a lot of Warrior fans that are rubbing their hands together like, all right, round two, let's go. We got these Wolves. And I got a bunch of other Warrior fans where I'm like, ugh, we're old, tired, they're rested. We're probably going to lay an egg tonight. I've seen a lot of that as well. So are you feeling on the confident side of the ledger or the not-so-much side of the ledger? 888-957-9570. We'll get into it with you. We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. This is Willard and Dibs.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Speaking of numbers, we have a number of things that you're going to want to hear that have both happened on 95.7 The Game today, such as Slates and Cousin Nick Friedell, both on the roast today. Draymond Green's podcast, I'm going to ask for a special waiver, if it's okay with you, Dibs.
Yeah, sure.
Special waiver at some point, probably 3:15 maybe-ish. Special waiver to leave the moment and go backwards again, just for a second, so that we can rub it in to the Houston Rockets.
I mean, okay.
Only to one
special
person.
Special waiver, fine. Dylan Brooks. You want to rub it into Dylan Brooks?
I would like to rub it into Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Maybe, I would like to rub
maybe
it
maybe
in.
I'll step out during that time.
Okay, that's fine.
Because it's very personal for you, and I don't know
it's
why it's personal.
I've never met the man.
No, but you have something against him. You have a lot against him.
We all have athletes that especially get us. You have them.
Yeah, he's on the Warriors. And, you know, I've done a very good job this year of letting it go.
Right, but you've even had other things with other Warriors in the past. You had the money thing with Andre Iguodala.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but I don't think it's wrong. Like, we've all got athletes that are on our list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's on your list? You got a list?
Not really. It's a pretty short list. I mean, I'd have to really think about who's on my list, like, of athletes that really, really bug me. There's not many, honestly.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't have a lot.
Yeah.
But the few that I have, like
one of them came up big last night.
Hey, made a nice pass. I would have bet $1,000 that Russell Westbrook in that moment was going to be like, nope. I got it.
Yep.
I am going to go full speed ahead, bang my head off the backboard, huck the ball in the air, and see what happens. I was willing, especially in Oklahoma City. Like, he got the ball. And I was like, oh, I can read your mind.
Oh, yeah.
You want to eat the rim.
Yep.
You're going to eat the rim. And he took off, and then he passed.
He made the right play.
I was like, good job.
Yep.
Russ, good job.
Aaron Gordon.
And then straight out of Uncle Drew, he buried that thing.
Yep.
And the Nuggets won. So good for him. But, yeah, I don't enjoy Russell Westbrook. I do not enjoy Dylan Brooks. And for different reasons. Dylan is worse. But anyway, yes, it's not personal. I just do not enjoy watching him play basketball. I think he's got a screw loose. And Draymond Green decided to point it out at length on his podcast. And I thought it was pretty freaking entertaining.
I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
You haven't heard it yet?
No. I'm not one who partakes in the Draymond Green podcast.
It's delicious.
The way I ingest the pod is when all of you who listen to it, then you find things that are pertinent, and then I listen to the pertinent parts.
I'll be straight honest with you. I didn't listen to the podcast,
yeah.
But I mean, the clips circulate all over social media.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw this clip, and I was very entertained and intrigued by it, and so we will partake.
When the clips circulate, I see them, and I don't listen to them, and I think, you know what? If my partner, Mark Willard, thinks that it's going to be interesting for our show, then I'll listen to it live because I don't partake in the Draymond Green show.
That's fine. Do you ever partake in the 95.7 The Game engaging Dub Nation Twitter poll brought to you by Shane Coe?
Every single time, yeah.
Great, let's do it then. Before every game, we invite you to vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on the 95.7 The Game Twitter page. It is brought to you by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCoe.com today. All right, here's the question. We got a new series starting tonight, obviously. So, who wins? Here are your four options, because it's who wins and in how many games. Will it be the Warriors in four or five? The Warriors in six or seven? The Wolves in four or five? Or the Wolves in six or seven? Let us know. Go to the 95.7 The Game Twitter page and vote now, and we will reveal what Warrior fans, mostly Warrior fans, obviously. It's not a rule that you have to root for the Warriors to listen to this show, but we'll see what all of our listeners think on that one. I think you've already declared Warriors in six. I'll co-sign with you on that one. But I will also admit at the same time, because Warriors in six was my prediction last round also, I am less confident in their chances in this series than I was in the last. No doubt.
Interesting.
No doubt.
I'm probably as confident based on, you know, what I've seen from these two teams in the regular season. The Warriors didn't have Jimmy, and I know that Randall wasn't yet as good as he has been for Minnesota, and what they've figured out since March 1st has been great, but I do like the Warriors' chances in a longer series with Minnesota.
Yeah, I get it. That's sort of where my head is going into this game. It's what you just referenced. Like, the Jimmy Butler Warriors have never played the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Right.
So today is, for me, is a complete feel it out. Like, I want to see this matchup. I know what I think are the sort of the matchups and the aspects that will play here. I think the Warriors are a better half-court team than the Wolves are. Half-court basketball tends to play a lot more in the playoffs than otherwise, but the Wolves are the younger, more rested team. They're the deeper team with more shooting. Will they have their legs and their shot underneath them? If they do, I like their chances. They're both very good defensive teams. I think the Warriors are a little bit more in the savvy vet department and smarter, and they're able to figure that all out. And then I look at what Steve Kerr said, which was the exact same thing he and many others said in the last round. You need to go after rebounds and loose balls with reckless abandon and take care of the basketball on your end and limit the turnovers. And if you do that, then you will probably win the series. But that's not easy to do.
No, especially when you have a team that's much bigger. And you mentioned the shooting, and Minnesota had a better year from the three-point line than the Warriors did. I think Minnesota was fifth on three-point percentage. The Warriors shot it more from three than any team other than Boston. But when they did shoot it, Minnesota actually had a better percentage. And, you know, Dante DiVincenzo and Naz Reid and all the other, you know, Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards is a good shooter, a good three-point shooter. And they've got a lot more, I think, of a diverse way to score. But I wonder about the matchups and how the Warriors can get Rudy Gobert off the floor. And for me, it's styles make fights. And that's what this Warrior team has been for the past 10 years of, we're going to go small, and can our small ball make it so that your big ball is not going to be as effective? That, to me, is the number one thing in this series. And that's where the Houston series was so interesting, because Houston was unwavering in their willingness to go two bigs until Steve Kerr went into the hack a Kiwi, and then they hacked a Kiwi, and he missed, and then I think it was game four, they had to take him off the court, and then the Warriors went out and won.
Yep.
And then in game six, they went back to the same strategy, and he was just choop, choop, choop,
he was
knocking down free throws.
And then when he missed, his teammates tapped the ball in. And so it totally backfired on the Warriors. But everything did that night. So
it did. I wonder about how, against a bigger team again, how they go about like mitigating their size disadvantage.
It's interesting, though. You know what I think? Something about Rudy Gobert. I don't want this to come off like flippant or dismissive. Gobert is a presence at 7'1". There's no question about that. And a shot blocker and all of that stuff. You know what he is for his size? I would argue, not a very good rebounder. Now, if I were 7'1" and my presence on the floor was literally built on the defensive side, I would average more than 10.9 rebounds per game. That's what I think. I think Rudy Gobert is often an unimpressive rebounder. I know If you start looking at what he did in the playoffs and down the stretch in the regular season, he is averaging north of 14 rebounds a game. So that's lately, and that's good. That's what he should be doing. I just think Rudy sometimes does that, and this is what Draymond sort of like, I think it's why he triggers Draymond so much. Rudy doesn't always have that dog in him of like, dude, go get it. Go get the ball. And so I think as far as dealing with him around the rim, I think he's easier to deal with than Şengün. I think he's a problem.
Well, as a rebounder, maybe.
Yeah.
He's a much better shot blocker than Şengün.
Right, but he's not as good offensively, and he's not as good of a rebounder. I would rather face Gobert than Şengün.
Well, for me, it's different because Gobert is much more like Steven Adams than he is Şengün. Şengün is more like Julius Randle in that Randle can post you up. He can score. Randle's a better offensive player than Şengün because he can shoot the ball. He can take you outside. Şengün's pretty limited. Like, I'm going to post you up, and I'm going to go left shoulder turn, right shoulder turn, fade away from the baseline. He's pretty limited. He's very good at what he does, but I do think that Julius Randle can take you outside. He can get you off the dribble a little bit. He can shoot the three a little bit better than Şengün. For me, Gobert is more of a better version of Steven Adams, where he's a better defender, and he's probably not as good of a rebounder, but he's a guy who's going to play more, and he can be more of a disruptive force.
We looked into the rules and the points for Draymond Green. Like, that's one thing that I'm really looking at tonight because Draymond...
The text and the flagrants you're
right,
talking about.
So I had said yesterday inaccurately that my memory served that Draymond had a technical in all games except for game one. Six technicals. He did have six incidents, but only four technicals.
Six incidents.
Four technicals, two flagrants.
Right.
For Draymond.
The two flagrants are moving violations, and the four technicals are parking tickets.
Right. However, if you add up enough of them, they can all lead you to the same court of law.
But you know they're two different categories.
Totally.
Exactly.
But he's halfway home on both of them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Two more flagrants, am I accurate?
Yep.
Is a suspension.
Yep.
Four more technicals is a suspension.
Oh, yeah.
And it's only round two. That's for the whole playoffs.
Right.
So I don't know if the Warriors are going to get out of this series, but if they do, and you're playing Gobert, I almost have like a hard time believing that, like, you better start planning for Draymond to miss a game if you get to round three. I don't see him being able to do that.
Right. I don't either. Like, I mean,
he's already halfway home after one series.
On both fronts.
Yes.
And you know that one flagrant two counts for two. So if he gets a flagrant two, that's an automatic ejection. And it'd be four flagrant points, which would mean he would be suspended for the next game as well. So if he happens to, I don't know, and maybe this is in me being wild in my imagination. Let's just say he chokes Rudy Gobert.
He would never do that.
I think you're right.
I hate when you put stuff like that out there, dude. He would never do that.
You're right.
And we got to fight.
As a hypothetical, if he were to do that,
crazy
and he were to get a flagrant two, that would be you're gone, and that's 4 points. You're gone again.
You're gone again.
You get to go watch the game while Bob Myers and you are watching the A's game.
Bob Myers could take him to an A's game.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
That's where we are.
Well,
this time it's Sacramento, though.
Okay, our buddy Nick Friedell was on the morning roast, and he addressed this. He did. He evil laugh, and then he addressed the idea of Draymond staying out of trouble.
As far as any conversation with Draymond goes, they just have to hope that he's not going to get pushed into an emotional situation. And I'll give him credit because I'm sitting there watching Game 7 the other night, and he hits those first two threes. And I mean, Carter, hit the drip for me again. But Slater and I, going back for years, were always like, oh boy, Draymond hits that first three. And he is screaming at the other bench. He is sitting there going, you guys can't touch me. You're going to leave me wide open. Guys, Draymond hit those first two shots in game seven. He didn't say a word. He just played. And that is the best thing that can happen for the Warriors in the next couple weeks.
Okay, that said, he still went out and got a technical later in the game.
Yeah.
For taking a swipe at Fred VanVleet's head.
And connecting.
And connecting. Yes, Fred fouled him, but Draymond then used that as an opportunity to whack Fred in the face. And then there's this. Friedel said, look, it's not like the Wolves don't know. They know what the points are, and they are totally going to go after Draymond in a way that tries to get him to emotionally boil over.
The Timberwolves are going to try to bait Draymond like any other team, and he has the history with Gobert, and he knows how important he is, especially for the younger group, especially for Steph right now at this stage of his career. I know it would be a really, really rough bet to bet on Draymond to keep his head in the game throughout the next couple weeks, but I think that with what's at stake, and with the history between the two guys that's already been in place with Ian Gobert, I think he can actually do it. And it wouldn't surprise me if he knows going in, if I lose it, it's all over. And I have no doubt that that's been made clear to him by Kerr and Dunleavy and Steph and all the powers that be. But I think that will be a gigantic key. If Draymond keeps his head in this series, then they've got a legit chance to do it.
Okay, so I love that this came up on the show this morning. I love that Nick talks about it because I don't, when a lot of people break down this series and it's because it hasn't started yet, we get all of the sort of cookie cutter stuff like, well, Anthony Edwards is going to get his, but what about the role players? And then there's the half court defense and the half court offense and who's going to be hitting threes. And it's like, okay, kind of yawn. Like, let's talk about this, Draymond Green. Because going into the Rockets series, what did we not know? We didn't know that Jimmy Butler would miss damn close to two games. We didn't know Pods would miss a game. We didn't know GP2 was going to miss a game. We didn't know all of these adverse things would show up. And they absolutely could show up as early as tonight with regard to Draymond Green. And I'm with Nick. If what you just said were to happen, I think the Warriors are toast. I do not. He cannot get a flagrant two in this series because he will immediately miss that game and the next one. And I don't think the Warriors can survive that. And so we are at the mercy of Draymond Green keeping his cool.
Again.
And I can't think of a more uncomfortable spot to be.
I get that, but I do think there are different ways you can go about this. And, you know, let's just say that the Warriors are up 2-1 and you get into, you know, a late game scenario and the Warriors are up. They're about to win game four and go up 3-1.
Yep.
They're up 11 with 2:12 to go. And he decides to just, I don't know, Mark, and I'm spitballing here, but let's just say he goes and chokes Rudy Gobert.
He wouldn't do that.
You're right. I don't know why I'm so fixated on that.
Come up with a new, he would never, that's so over the top.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do something like that.
Well, let's just say that he happens to put his arm around Rudy Gobert's neck.
I mean, and I don't know what the difference
is. In a non-threatening manner.
If you insist on this absurd analogy or comparison.
Sure, sure.
Go ahead.
But they win the game. They're up 3-1, and he sits game five. What could go wrong?
You mean a 3-1 lead?
Yeah.
And then you get suspended for game five?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can't even.
And then he comes back in game six and, like,
I mean, I hear the scenario you're painting. I just can't imagine it.
I can't
imagine it.
I can't imagine that going wrong.
No.
But so, I do think that of all the things that Draymond is, and I've been more critical of Draymond than anybody on this station, and apologies to anyone who else thinks that they're in my league, but I would say that I'm number one in the Draymond critic category. The one thing that I will give him.
Shasky's mad at you for saying that, but go ahead.
That's fine, and so is Bonte, and I'm sure Guru is as well, but the one thing I will give him his flowers for is awareness of the rules and where he is on these scales.
Yeah.
He knows where he is on the tech scale, and he knows where he is on the flagrant scale.
Well, look, the last time we had what feels to me like a similar conversation was the beginning of this season. And our lines were lined up with people who are like, why the hell would you now think that Draymond, because he was suspended last year and it quote-unquote ruined the year, and the year before that he punched a teammate and it quote-unquote ruined the year.
His words.
Why the hell would you think that this year Draymond Green would suddenly figure it out, be thoughtful, and stay on the court? And then what happened?
He figured it out.
He nailed it.
Well, he had 14 techs.
Yeah.
And he knows that when you get 16, you get suspended. Right. So I do think that he is aware of all of it, and he knows that there's times when he wants to get a tech. And he said this the other night. It might have been the playing game, or he's like, you know what? I needed to get a tech right there. And so I think he's aware of times where he feels like he needs to get a tech. And as far as him like going over the line, he didn't do it this year.
He didn't.
I'm not going to call him a Boy Scout.
No, but well, he's always going to be Draymond Green.
Weeblo.
But he nailed it. Weeblo.
Sorry.
He stayed on the team.
He did not get suspended.
And by the way, 14 technical fouls in a year. I know for a lot of players that's a ton. For Steph Curry, it's like a career. But like I'm not bothered usually by technical fouls. Technical fouls are like, oh, you talked to the ref for too long. You know what I mean? Like, sure, you kind of got Fred VanVleet in the face the other night. All right, they called a technical foul. Usually a technical foul is like, on its own, it's no big deal. Obviously, if you get two in a game, it's a big deal. And now we're in this spot where if he gets four more, he's going to miss an entire game. So, I get that, but yeah, largely, I thought he really nailed it this year with regard to this.
Oh, yeah.
He crushed it.
Yeah, I mean, there were no incidents, and there were no times where he got ejected from a game and it actually cost them the game. Was that the Charlotte game a couple years ago, Grandy, he got the two techs late, and he got ejected, and it eventually cost him the game.
It was
Steph
early.
Steph cried last year in Orlando.
Oh, it was Orlando.
Dibs is thinking of a separate game a couple of years ago.
He went
crazy late and cost them a game that they had already won.
We're thinking of two, because they won the game where Steph was teared up and Draymond got kicked out early. Yeah. They won that game anyway.
Draymond's meltdowns are like children. You dislike them all the same.
And maybe it's like children in you and your siblings, because there's a bunch of them, Dibs.
Well, only four of us.
That's a lot. That's a decent amount.
It's not a bunch, but it's a lot.
It's not like
maybe
Buddy,
the better Buddy example, Hield. Or Buddy Hield or Spadoni's family. A lot of kids.
A lot of Spadoni's.
How many does the Spadoni family have?
11, I think.
Oh my God.
I was going to say he was one of 7 kids, but it might be more than that.
Good Lord.
Oh, I'm going to go over 7.
How do those parents do that?
My Uncle Terry, rest in peace, Uncle Terry, he had kids all over the damn place.
It was like
a 35-year age gap, though. It's not like he had 11 kids in 15 years. He's like, you know what? Hey, new wife, let's put up 5 on the board.
Was he like Cromartie? Could he name them or no?
Yeah, I mean.
If you're like, name all your kids, could he do it?
He might not have been able to, but my sister can. Get the caner on the phone.
Well, yeah, that's
she knows
different.
All of them.
That's different.
Uncle Terry.
That's different.
Living a double wide rural Minnesota.
Yeah, women are thoughtful like that.
But she wasn't the parent of any of these
matter.
Kids.
It doesn't matter. She's a woman. She can do stuff like that.
Nah.
Dudes are like, Billy and...
There's little guy and Buckaroo.
And Grandy's sitting there with a buzzer. He's like, eh, that's not one of them. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. 888-957-9570. We are taking your phone calls. Right now, do you trust that Draymond Green is going to stay in these games? And also, are you feeling like on the positive side of, the Warriors have the momentum off of Sunday? Or are you kind of still in that bucket of, dude, if you lose game 6, you're going to be exhausted if you even get to game 1 on Tuesday night? No chance. I hear Warrior fans doing both of those things. So we'd love to hear from you. We'll take your calls right now, 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibs.